people.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Once black people get guns in this country, the gun laws will change. Trust me.
That's what happened with the Black Panther. Black people have...
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. After a week off, we'll go into that in a little bit, but thank you for joining me this week, and I gotta tell you, I don't hate many people. There are people I don't like, but I will tolerate them. Joy Behar, I absolutely hate. This no-talent hack bigot racist is just, I don't know how she got the gig on The View. Maybe because she speaks the mainstream narrative. But listen, go back and listen to that clip. As a matter of fact, let's do it again. I'm going to play this clip for you again. And I want you to know that Mia Love is the new host. She's a black person. She is the one that started the conversation. And Joy Behar jumps in, points her finger at her, and said, "When black people get guns, then we'll have gun control." Look at this. And go on YouTube, look at the video, and look at Mia Love's face. Listen to this.
Okay. Here's the thing. Once black people get guns in this country, the gun laws will change. Trust me.
And listen to the people clapping. That is amazing to me. When are the communists of America, the Democrat Party, when are they going to be called out for the bigots and racists that they are? They want to call the right, they want to call conservatives racists and bigots and homophobes. These people on the left are the biggest racists on the planet. They want to preach how all-encompassing, how they love all people. These comments right here speak volumes about the character of Joy Behar and the members of The View. Now, Mia Love, in her defense, I don't watch The View. I can't stand it. I can't stand Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, and the rest of the gang. But Mia Love, she seems, just from the conversation they had there, I'm going to say she leans a little bit more moderate than anybody else on that show. And, you know, good for her. But this is ridiculous. Why is there not a boycott? Why is Joy Behar not suspended? Can you imagine if a Republican or a conservative said this? They would be shoved right out of Washington. If it was an actor, they would be blacklisted. If they were a musician or a sports figure, they would never play again, or they'd never act again. But it's the left. It's Joy Behar, who seems to get away with anything, no matter how much hate-filled, vile vomit gets spewed from her mouth. People just eat it up. And I am sick of it. Why she is not suspended, why there are not calls to boycott that show, why she's not being reprimanded is beyond me. I've said it a million times. There's one thing the left knows how to do, well, besides destroy a country in less than 2 years. It is, they know how to fight. They know how to cause a riot. They know how to start a ruckus. This is how you do it. Joy Behar has no idea what is going on in this country. She is so far left, so far down the pants of the Democrats, she will say anything they want to, and she has no idea of an argument against it if somebody comes back like Mia Love did, talking about gun control. She had no idea how to defend her stance on gun control, except to bring up the race card. And that's what all liberal communist Democrats do. They're losing an argument? Well, let's bring out the race card. Look at Joy Reid on MSNBC. She has no point. Her show is ridiculous. The topics she talks about from the get-go are a no-win topic. So what does she do? She doesn't even bother debating. She just comes out and throws the race card out there right from the get-go because that's all they can do. You disagree with me? You're a racist. I don't like your stance? We're going to make it racist. This is what they do. Joy Behar, you talentless, hack, vile, vindictive, racist, bigoted woman. Yes, I called you a woman. You're biologically a woman. I can't stand you. And the majority of this people, of the people in this country, cannot stand you. But keep spouting your hate, because all it's doing is it's waking people up. And I've come to the conclusion again, and I've talked about this before, but let's go over Joe Biden's poll numbers right now. Right now, nationally, he is 39.6% approval rate. In my home state of Michigan, it's 31%. That is horrible. That puts him as a worse president than Jimmy Carter. And it doesn't, you know, I didn't think that was going to be possible. But Joe Biden, God bless him, he's on his way. He is doing everything he can to take over that throne. But my question is, this almost 40% of the people in the country, 31% of the people in my home state of Michigan, how can you think he's doing a good job? How could you give him a favorable rating? And that's the problem. There are 30 to 40% of the people in this country you will never, ever, ever convince otherwise. They have been brainwashed. Don't bother trying to change them. They're not going to change. We need to focus all of our efforts on getting the people who have changed and who already think with common sense. We need to get them to raise their voices so our voices can be heard instead of it just the lunatic radical communists of this country. These are the people that we need to rally. These are the people that have already seen it or are now seeing what the Communist Party of America is like. We need to rally around them and lift up their voices so we all can be heard, not just a rabid, racist, lunatic left. We're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to start the next segment with a subject that I really don't want to talk about, but I want to tell you, for those of you who don't know why I was gone last week, and for those of you who do know, I want to thank you, because this was it still is. I mean, I'm going through a lot. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're just going to jump right back into the show. There's a lot to talk about. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Are you a conservative? Have you served or are serving in the military? Or do you just have a absolute love for your country? If you do, go to 76patriot.net and show everyone your love of country. Again, if you love your country, if you're a conservative or a member, past or present, of the military, 76patriot.net is your source. If you want flags, if you want hats, they have an ever-growing inventory of product you can buy at a phenomenal price and phenomenal quality. 76patriot.net. Go there. Look what they have. Order as many things as you can. I know times are tough, but now is the time to show your love of country. If you have a gift you're looking to give, and you have a conservative, a former or current military member, or someone you know that just loves their country, 76patriot.net is where you need to go. And when you get there, make sure you tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
There's not a single day that without you on my mind, not even 1 minute can end up before you come around.
Okay, for those of you who do not know, I posted it on my Paranormal Patriot page and maybe even my Facebook personal page. But some of you who listen don't follow that. And I normally put out a show every week. I pride myself on the fact that I do that. But there are some instances that I just can't do it. And last week was an instance. On Tuesday, May 31st, I lost my father. It was pretty sudden. We weren't expecting it. He was in the hospital, but from everything the doctor said, yeah, he'll be going home Tuesday. And I get a call from my brother at 5:45 Tuesday morning and said, Dad coded last night. They want the family up there. I get up there, and he's on a vent, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? The doctors are talking as if he's going to come out of this. His kidneys are starting to fail, but they think with the medicine they're giving him that he'll be fine. He'll come out of it. He may not be as strong as he once was, but he'll come out of it. And progressively, I got there almost 7:30, and by 12:30, he was gone. And for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, you know I lost my mother on February 2nd, 2021. So almost 16 months later, I lost my last remaining parent. And I say me, but it's my brothers and sisters and I. And not that I didn't love my mom, and trust me, my mom's death still affects me, and it will. Anybody who's lost a parent knows that it will affect you. You'll never forget them. Things will trigger you, and you'll just lose it. But losing my dad, I don't know. Well, I do know that I have no more parents. I don't have any more parents. They're gone. At least when my mom passed, it was kind of expected. I mean, she was battling cancer, and she was battling hard, and you could just tell she was getting tired and the cancer was winning. But when I got to the hospital, she was still coherent. She was still conscious and still there. It was mom. And I got to talk to her and tell her how much I love her and how much I was so proud to be her son. And we talked. With my dad, I couldn't do that. My dad was completely sedated on a vent, and we don't know what happened. I know after my mom died, they were married 57 years. I know when my mom passed that he was never the same. He missed her immensely. I mean, let's be honest. My mom did everything for my dad. My mom did everything for me when I lived in that house. I never had to make my bed. I never had to make dinner. I never had to make lunch for school. It was already done for me. My mom would vacuum the house 3-4 times a day. The house was immaculately clean. She never, ever stopped working. And I look back at that and I'm like, my gosh. When I got married, I had no idea how to do laundry. I had no idea how to run a dishwasher. That might be a curse, but that's how much my mom's whole life was family. And my dad's was that way. My dad, he wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But my dad, he worked hard and he provided for us. I mean, we were a single parent working family. My mom stayed home and raised 5 kids. My dad, as his obituary said, was a rock star in the auto industry. He was a service manager. He was the president of the Only the Best Club. I guess I'm not sure exactly how that works, but you have to be one hell of a manager to be in that club, let alone the president. He rocked it out. And he worked. He worked a lot of hours. But you know what? Growing up, my brothers and I, we were sports fanatics. I, more so than anybody else, I played basketball. I played soccer. I didn't play football because my mom thought I'd kill myself, which is probably right. But baseball. Baseball was the one. It didn't matter if he was the coach or not, he ended up being on that coaching staff, whatever team I was playing for. And as I grew older and I got better and people started looking at me and scouts started coming to my games, I would play on 4 baseball teams a summer. There were days I would have 2-3 games a night. And you know what? He'd leave work and he would coach. And my mom would be at every single game. There are parents today that have no idea what their kids are doing. My mom and dad knew everything. My mom knew how many hits I had that game, how many strikeouts I had that game. My dad coached. When I played basketball in high school, you can't just walk on and be a coach. But he was at every practice. He helped run the practices and during the games. It didn't matter if it was JV or varsity. When I got done with my JV, I stopped playing basketball in high school. Didn't go to varsity because I wanted to focus on baseball. But JV, he was the scorekeeper, and he was the timekeeper for every game. And when the varsity team would play, he'd stay on, and I would be there. And, you know, back then, it's like, come on, Dad, give me a break. You know, I live with you. Give me some space. But I look back on it now, and my gosh, it was an amazing time to be his son. He loved it. I remember I was in fourth grade and we were playing for the championship of the recreation game or recreation league, and it was a great game, and we were in a tight battle. I think we were up by two at the time, and I come back on defense. I think I just made a basket and put us up by two, and I come back and I look at the clock, and my dad at the time wasn't a small guy. He was a pretty big guy, and he's on the sidelines just, I mean, jumping up and down along the sidelines. God, stop looking at the clock. Stop looking at the clock. Look at the ball. And we ended up winning that game by like 2 points. And I don't know. As a matter of fact, I do know. He was more excited about the fact that we won than the whole team. He was enthralled. He was, oh my gosh, it was so fun to watch him be a part of my childhood growing up. And it wasn't just sports. Here in Michigan, we've always lived in Michigan. We lived in Saginaw, Michigan. And the Saginaw Bay is about a half hour away. The Saginaw Bay would be the biggest lake in any other state, most any other state. And we would go fishing. And we had a boat. We had, you know, it was a fishing boat, 25 horse Johnson on it. And we would go fishing. And we'd have these triple hooks. And basically, they're perch rigs. And we'd drop them down. And I mean, we would catch so many perch. And at the time, they were big perch. They were 10, 12, 14-inch perch. You don't see that nowadays. But we'd go on charter fishing trips, and we'd catch salmon. And oh, my gosh. It was, I mean, I look back at my childhood, and I had an amazing family. I had an amazing upbringing. My parents raised 5 kids, and every single one of us have never been in trouble with the law. We are good, upstanding citizens. Everybody speaks highly of us. In our own ways, we're successful. It depends on your definition of success. You know, four of my brothers and sisters, I have 2 older brothers, 2 younger sisters. They don't have to worry about money. Me, you know, I'm the middle child. I'm the black sheep. I struggle at times, but it has nothing to do with them. That's just, I think, being the black sheep and middle child syndrome. I had it. Still have it. But when my father passed, you know, when my mom passed, I instantly felt a part of me vanish. When my dad passed, I instantly felt a part of me vanish. And then the realization came in that my parents are gone. The ones who raised me, made me into the man I am today, they're gone. And a chunk of me is gone. I'm having a hard time. You know, I listened to the show about my mom when she passed. I was talking politics. I was talking politics for mom or something like that. Because my mom loved the politics. She's the one that basically got me to think how I think. And we would talk. We'd talk for ever about politics. And I was having a really hard time on that show. I would, you know, I'd have to stop and cry and go back and redo it. And I'm having a hard time expressing feelings right now. And it bothers me. And it's not because I don't feel the loss like I did with my mom. In fact, I feel it as much, if not more. You know, my dad and I weren't as close as my mom and I were near the end, because I never really saw him. But we'd talk, and, you know, we didn't talk about politics. We talked sports. He asked me how my job was doing, how the auto industry's doing. You know, I asked how the family was doing, and he was my dad. there is an emptiness in me now that it took a lot of my emotion with it. I will never forget my father. Those of you who are listening that knew my father, you will never forget him. A great joke teller, although some might have been inappropriate at times, but a phenomenal coach at whatever he did. I don't think with him as a coach, assistant or full-blown coach, I don't think we ever had a losing season in anything I did, be it baseball, soccer, or basketball. As a matter of fact, I know we didn't. He knew how to teach, and that he exuded onto me. I know how to lead. I know how to teach. And I thank my parents for that. And for those of you, and there's a lot of you that messaged me and texted me, those who have my personal number, and those of you on Facebook that sent condolences, I thank you. I still can't go and respond to these messages. Emotionally, I'm not there. I'm struggling. I mean, I'm talking about it now, and I'm not crying, and it bothers me, but inside, it's tearing me apart. Honestly, my wife is really worried that something is wrong, and I don't know. I just know that to lose both of your parents in the span of 16 months, when I lost my mom, I lost the one that I would talk to all the time, and we'd talk for forever. When I lost her, I could still pick up that phone, dial that number, and my father would answer. My dad would answer, and I'd talk to him. Now, I get out of work, and I go to dial that phone, hit that button that says Mom and Dad, and it hits me. Nobody's going to answer at all. That's heartbreaking to me. That's something I'm never going to get over. Thank you to everyone who sent their condolences. Mom and Dad, I love you. I miss you. See you soon.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Gold walls that I built for you just to dig me out with silver spoons. No, I didn't see it coming. Oh. Gold walls that I'm stuck in. I guess beauty sees what I can't find. I didn't, oh, I didn't see it coming.
Well, all right, so in the "it can only happen in California" file, California bees now can legally be fish, and that means they have the same protections as a fish. You heard me right. California bumble bees, as far as California is concerned, are fish. Apparently, it doesn't matter to them that fish cannot live out of water and bumblebees cannot live in water. They're the same. And they're saying it's because, well, they're both endangered. There's certain species of fish that are endangered, so they'll get special treatment like these fish. Then just make a special law protecting the bumblebee. Don't classify them as fish. But what would you expect from Communist California? You know, I read, gosh, I forgot who said it, but I read that somebody, some historical figure, I can't remember who it is, somebody help me out here when you hear this, said, when the rules or the laws become crazier, the downfall of society becomes more or comes more quickly. So when the laws become more asinine, the downfall of that society is hastened. I mean, look at our society now. Look at our society. Here in Michigan, well, let's talk gas prices. Right now, me here in Michigan am paying $5.29 for a gallon of gas. $5.29. That has gone up by 30 cents over the past week. How many times have you seen gas drop 30 cents in a week? You don't. You don't see it. But you see it go up 30 cents in a week. Isabella County in Michigan has now, just over 6 months into the year, they have exhausted their fuel funding. They don't have funding for gas anymore because of these fuel prices. They are instructing their officers, look, if it's not an emergency call, try and just resolve it over the phone so we don't have to send our troopers out there in their cars and waste more gas. Right now, according to roadside assistance, the number of calls of people running out of gas has risen 62% in the last 3 months. Why do you think that is? People are stretching it out as long as they can, trying to get every drop of gas they can because gas is more valuable than gold now. I'm telling you, I have a big gas can for my lawnmower that is full of gas. I'm putting it on eBay and putting, look, I know what this is worth. Don't lowball me. I'll take a couple acres for this. These gas prices and this inflation is killing American families, literally destroying families. They have to decide, how am I going to get to work? I can't afford it. How am I going to get to work, or am I going to feed my kids? It's a catch-22. But what are the communists and Joe Biden doing about it? Nothing. Instead, while the rest of America is struggling, they're not going to help you out. They're going to have a primetime made-for-TV special on Thursday, June 9th, about the January 6th insurrection. They're going to have unseen footage of the riot. They're going to have different cutscenes of the riot. And while you're watching that, you're going to have dramatic overlay of music involved with the riot. This is what they want to talk about. Why? Because nothing else is resounding with their voters. They're losing. They're losing badly, and they're grasping at straws. You know, this January 6th committee is no better than the 9/11 commission. It's no better than the Project Blue Book committee that was, quote-unquote, investigating UFOs, or the Warren Commission. It's a political stunt. It's a made-for-TV special. When you have news outlets telling you what's going to be on there and how to watch it, they're literally telling you, this is how you should watch this primetime January 6th insurrection special. That's not political. It's propaganda. And that's what the communists do. They know how to give out propaganda, and they're doing it now. And so many people are like, I was listening to a radio show, and this idiot woman had the audacity to say, I don't care about the gas prices. They don't affect me. I'm a senior citizen. I ride the bus. I want to know about the insurrection. People had guns. People died because of these guns. Numerous people were shot and killed because of the Republicans and Trump insurrection. The people actually believe this. Now, first off, the only person that was killed was Ashley Babbitt by a gun when a Capitol officer shot her. Now, granted, she was climbing through a window, but so were many other people. How many times have you seen the video where the cop is just like, come on in? Why are they not showing the 14,000 hours of different angles, different cameras? They're just showing what's going to make it look like Trump. Trump and his Republican cronies and the conservatives and the radical right, the alt-right, they're out to destroy this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest threat to you right now is not Vladimir Putin. It's not China. It's not North Korea. The biggest threat to you and your family are the Democrat Party or as I call them, the Communist Party of America. They are the biggest threat to you and your family. And until you realize that, it's only going to get worse. There are people that are going to be glued to their TV set tonight watching this ludicrousy. Where were the hearings in the summer of 2020 when Antifa was torching cities? And the Democrats, they didn't say anything. Hey, they're peaceful protests. They have a right to say what they want. Okay, we as Americans, we have a right and a duty to protect our country from a tyrannical government, which is what the Communist Party is. We exerted our right. We walked upon our rightful capital. That's our capital. That is paid for by our money. We didn't kill anybody. We didn't hurt anybody. But you have AOC saying, oh my God, I thought I was going to get raped. Trust me, girl, you weren't going to get raped. Ain't going to happen. Where were the hearings when Antifa was burning the country down? When they were taking over police precincts? When they were taking over sections of Seattle and murdering people? Where were the Democrats? Where was their concern then? It wasn't there. I mean, let's take it a step further and go off a little bit of the beaten path. How many of you saw live coverage every day of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial? Basically, Jeffrey Epstein's madam. How many of you saw that trial on TV? I guarantee you none, because it wasn't televised. But how many of you were watching Johnny Depp and Amber Heard go at it for weeks on end? Everybody did. You couldn't go watch the news. You couldn't go on Facebook. You couldn't go on TikTok without seeing memes about it. There is an agenda in this country. You are being told what to watch, what to think, and if you don't follow that, you're labeled as a conspiracy theorist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who think we're crazy, you better find one of us. Because these conspiracy theories that we talk about, that we're talking about right now, are coming true as we speak. You are being programmed. You are being manipulated. And until you realize that, your life is going to be void. You are going to be on the wrong side of history because there are more of us than them. They are just like Japan. The Communist Party of America, the Democrat Party, they are awakening a sleeping giant. That sleeping giant is middle-class America, are the everyday people. How many Democrats do you know that have just said, this isn't my Democrat Party? They are far too left, and they are not going to vote Democrat. I mean, maybe this was the best thing to happen because people now realize that the Democrat Party have no worries. They could care less about you. It's all about their agenda and how to pad their pocket. That's all they care about. Power, money. Power, money. If you get in their way, you're a racist. You're a racist. Joy Behar, Joy Reid. There's a common thread there. Maybe we should stop calling them Karens and call them Joys. I don't know. But if you cannot see what is happening to you at this point, if you cannot see that what is happening in this country is planned, you cannot. I don't care how inept, how dysfunctional your administration or your political party is, you cannot destroy a country this quickly that was so strong prior to you taking over. You can't do it unless it is purposeful. And why is it purposeful? Because they want to take over. They want unmatched power. Why do you think there are so many mass shootings now? Do you think it's just a coincidence that when the Democrats take over office, that mass shootings skyrocket? It's not a coincidence. It is planned. And I mentioned this to one of my coworkers today. I don't understand. It is planned. This is an agenda by the Democrat Party. I just don't know how they're making it happen, because these mass shooters are either going to be killed or they're going to spend the rest of their lives in jail. So I don't know. Are we talking Manchurian Candidate type thing? Are they going after the whack to the whack and saying, hey, putting little thoughts in their head saying, hey, these guys hate you. You need to take them out. I don't know. But look at the facts. You can fight me on this all you want. Democrats take control, mass shootings go up. Democrats lose control, mass shootings go down. What happens whenever we get a mass shooting? The Democrats start preaching about gun control. We need to get AR-15s off the streets. We need to disarm the American people. Why? They can't take us over with the guns that we have right now. You know, they want to talk about buybacks. First off, I didn't buy my gun from the government. It's not a buyback. You want to give me $50 for a $1,200 gun? Yeah, good luck on that. But more than that, I see what's happening. I see that the government in this country is trying to disarm us. And hell, the world, the UN, the WHO, they're trying to disarm us. Why? You can't take over a country where every other citizen is armed. It doesn't work. And they know that. And I wish we, as a citizenry, knew that too. Because we are unstoppable. As gun owners in this country, we are unstoppable. We have a duty. The Second Amendment was put in place for situations like this, when we have a despotic government like we have now, a tyrannical government that is aiming to take control of every aspect of our life and take away all our freedoms and take the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and throw it in the fire. It is our duty to take this country back. And the only way we can do it is if we are armed, and they know that. The government, the Democrats, the communists know that. Why do you think there's such a push? Why do you think there's such a push to get us disarmed? Because once we're disarmed, we have no way to fight back. We right now are on the precipice of being Venezuela. Our inflation is out of control. I honestly think this summer you are going to be in a recession. This country will be in a recession. And it's going to turn into a worldwide recession and a worldwide depression. And it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the Great Reset. Everybody will have nothing. Nobody will have a thing. The government will tell you what to do and you will like it. Not my words. Words from Klaus Schwab. Open your eyes, people. It's coming. I know it's a scary thought. I know you don't want to think about it. I know you don't want to think that gas prices can go higher, that food shortages are not coming. Did anybody hear about the turkey or the chickens? Thousands, tens of thousands of chickens went up in flames. How often do you hear about this? But it's every week a food processing plant either gets shut down or it's run into by a plane or it's on fire. This is all planned. Your government is actively trying to destroy you. And until you realize that, you will let them destroy you. We need more people so we can stop our government from destroying us. We need you. We need you to wake these people that are like, what is going on here? Teach them right from wrong. You will sound crazy to them at first. But as you start showing them proof, in Facebook fact checkers, anytime you talk about the food shortage, all these fertilizer plants, all these chicken plants, all these baby formula plants that are being shut down or on fire, or you know, they get hit by planes. Two plants have been hit by a plane. How often does that happen? It doesn't. Facebook fact checkers will tell you, well, that's not proof. There's no proof that they are actively trying to create a food shortage. Then what is it? What is it? Again, Putin, China are not your enemies right now. It's a damn Democrat party. And until we realize that, it's not going to change. You know, I started this segment by talking about essentially the Isabella County Police Department running out of money for fuel. And Justin, you know who you are. Great listener of the show. Thank you for the link. Karen in New Zealand, I'm seeing what you're sending me. Guys, if you're sending me things, I'm not able. I just emotionally able to send out and get involved right now. I'm doing this show against my better judgment because I just got to do it. I got to get back to normal. And honestly, my mom and dad listen to my show all the time. They would want me to do it. But, I mean, listen, the same Democrat Party, the Communist Party that are saying defund the police, now we have police departments that aren't going to send out cars. They're not going to go on patrols because they can't afford to because their fuel budget's gone. How do you not see that as planned? The Democrats, the Communists aren't stupid. We know that. What they do well. And they agitate. And they manipulate. And they cast blame. And they rant and they rave and they call you a racist and make you feel like shit. And make you question your sanity. Stop questioning your sanity. It's their sanity that needs to be questioned. If they even have sanity. I don't even know if they have sanity anymore. I mean, they're off the deep end. This is not your mom and dad's Democrat Party. Hell, this isn't the Democrat Party from 10 years ago. They have become so progressive, so socialist. And at this point, they're not afraid to show it. They're showing their hand. And America is rebelling against it. But we still don't know how this is going to turn out. That's the scary part. They are overwhelmingly being rejected. And yet, we still may lose this country. Roe versus Wade may be overturned here shortly. And Joe Biden is coming up telling everybody, well, I'm going to come up with an executive order on how to reverse their decision. That's not how it works. The Supreme Court is the highest court in the land. There is no man, let alone a senile old man, who should be able to say, I don't like that decision. I'm going to write an executive order and reverse it. This is what we're up against. We have no say anymore in this government. You know, this money that we're sending to Ukraine, where were we in that whole equation? Where was our voice? Now, you'll get these Democrats saying, well, your representative voted for you. No, my representative did not come back to his or her district. And I guarantee you, your representative did not come back to your district and ask you and have a town hall meeting and saying, hey, this is what we're voting for. How do you want me to vote? Because that's how it's supposed to work. We can't have everybody in the country just pounce on Washington and vote. So we elect 1, 2, 3, it doesn't matter how many. We elect officials to represent us. But those officials are supposed to vote according to their constituents. When's the last time you've had, maybe Joe Manchin. I'll give you Joe Manchin. Maybe, when is the last time other than Joe Manchin you have had a member of Congress or the Senate or the House? When is the last time you have had them come to your district, the district that they are supposed to represent, and sit everybody down that wants to show up and say, all right, this is what we're going to be voting on. We're voting on a $58 billion aid package to Ukraine. How do you want me to vote? Never happened. We have no say. I would have voted, and I guarantee you the majority of Americans would have voted, keep that money here, fix the shit you got, or you lost control of. Never happened. So now we're going $58 billion further in debt for a country that is losing a war. We'll never see that money back. You might as well just toss it in the wind. It's infuriating. Our government does not represent us. Our government does not care about us anymore. And I don't know what it's going to take for these people to realize it but it better happen soon. All right, we're going to change gears quickly here. COVID. We haven't talked about COVID in a while, but hey, scientists are stunned. They can't figure out why people who have had multiple boosters and fully boosted are getting COVID more so than people who have not been vaccinated or who have not had their full boosters. These are the same people. These are the same doctors and scientists that can't understand why young people are dying of heart ailments that they never had before. These young people, 40 and under, are dying in droves of heart attacks. They call it sudden cardiac death or something to that effect. Anyway, they can't figure it out. Has anybody looked at the vaccine? I mean, we know for a fact, even though the media is trying to hide it and the scientists and Fauci have tried to hide it, we know for a fact that this vaccine can cause very severe cases of myocarditis. Nobody wants to look at that. I mean, myocarditis. How does that relate to heart issues in young adults? Why would people be dying? Could it be because they're getting a vaccine that's been untested and unproven? And why are these people who have been given the vaccine and given full booster shots, they're fully boosted, how are they getting more COVID than the people who have not had any boosters, have not had any COVID vaccine? Maybe because, as I have said numerous times before, maybe, just maybe, this vaccine is unproven. Maybe it affects your vital organs in ways we don't know. Maybe, just maybe, it actually inhibits your immune system as opposed to having natural immunity. I don't know. These people who have been vaccinated can sit there and continue to rip on me, calling me a lunatic, calling me someone who doesn't care about their neighbors, their friends, and their families. Hell, I know a close family member. We were at my parents' house cleaning it out, you know, 50 years. They've been married 57 years. They've got 57 years of stuff that we need to go through. And at the end of a long day, we all meet and we go, hey, let's just go to a restaurant and get something to eat. This family member wouldn't go because they're waiting for their 1.5-year-old child to get the COVID vaccine. They will not let this child leave the house. And if for any reason they do, she's got to wear a mask, same as her son. And my other family members that she goes to visit all the time are like, what's the difference? You come visit us. Well, it's not the same. Why? We are in public. And you have no problem being around us. This is the mentality of some people. Some people have had it ingrained in them that they're so afraid of life. I said, you're going to get it. You've already had it. You've already had it. And you got over it. You have natural immunity now. But keep getting those boosters. Even though the proof is showing that the more boosters you get, the less immune you are to it. My wife, I'm 110% certain, just got over another bout of COVID. She had the body aches. She had the cough. She's like, oh, I got allergies. This is not allergies. Yeah, this is what was told to us. Well, we just got allergies before I was in ICU for 12 days fighting for my life with COVID. And I said, you don't have allergies. You have COVID. Guess who didn't get sick? Moi. You know why? Because my body is full of the antibodies because my body fought so hard to beat COVID. It doesn't matter what strain. And, you know, I might get a strain that will take me out one day. I don't know. But as of now, my body is able to fight off COVID. I work in the public. I don't wear a mask. I don't wear gloves. I shake people's hands. I live my life. And you know what? I have been exposed to COVID more times than I care to think about. And you know what? Because God created this body to be an extraordinary machine that can fight off bugs and fight off viruses. I haven't got it again. But even if I did get COVID again, it was so minuscule. It was so minor. I didn't even know I had it. Have I been sick since I've had COVID? Yeah, I haven't felt good, but I haven't been nearly as sick as I have over the last couple years. I think having natural immunity to COVID without any vaccination or boosters has made my immune system just skyrocket. But we still have people out there that are wearing masks while they're driving alone in their cars, won't let their kids out in public. They're sheltering these kids. These kids need social interaction. And these kids that are being sheltered are going to be scarred for life. And lastly, let's talk about kids. I got ridiculed. Even while my dad is fighting for his life and after, and you know, no disrespect for them because they didn't know, but I had so many people send me emails. You're an asshole, Tom, sitting there using the kids as a way to perpetuate your propaganda, telling everybody, oh, how many kids could have been saved if the police officers could have went in there. These kids were dead already, Tom. Well, it's come to find out that at least a dozen kids could have been saved if the police officers would have gone into that room when they should have. I'm not a lunatic, people. I think thoroughly about what I'm going to say prior to the show. And I was convinced that there were kids there that could have been saved if the police officers would have done their job. And again, I am not disrespecting police officers in any way, shape, or form, but they did not do their job because they were following orders from a police chief that had no business being a police chief. This police chief needs to be brought up on charges, he needs to lose his job, and he needs to answer for what he did. His response was, we're trying to save lives. What lives are you trying to save? He is locked up in a classroom where he has shot everyone in that classroom. Kids are bleeding out. How many kids could have been saved? Well, the answer is at least a dozen that bled out. All because of the ineptness of the police officers who were following orders. I'm sorry, if I'm a police officer and there are kids in that room that have been shot and there's any inkling of hope that I can save just one, I'm busting that door down and I'm firing at that shooter. I don't care if I get taken out. It is my duty. I put myself in that job, in that position. These kids never stood a chance. And it's partly to blame for the response and for how lax the school was. Again, you can sit there and tell me that we need to disarm every American citizen in this country. But you know what? When you fight fire with fire, you win. Look at Israel. They've had six school incidences since the mid-1970s. You know why? Because they have armed guards in their schools. You have somebody that has a death wish? Yeah, he's going to go in there and start guns a-blazing in that school. He ain't going to make it too far because somebody's going to knock him down and kill him, which he should be. You know, if you got a death wish, if you want to go into a school and shoot up kids, you have a death wish. You know you're not getting out of there alive, or you shouldn't. But here, we want to disarm every gun owner in this country, even though 99.9999999% of the gun owners in this country are legally and responsible with their guns. They own them legally, and they're very responsible with their guns. But, yep, when a drunk driver kills somebody, is it the car's fault? Nope. If you stab somebody and kill them, is it the knife's fault? Nope. If you throw a grenade or plant a bomb and kill people, is it the grenade or the bomb's fault? Nope. Then why is it the gun's fault when somebody walks into somewhere and shoots people? Because there's an agenda. That's why. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this show. And more importantly, thank you for your condolences. I will never forget my mother and father. I will talk to you next week. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you again. We'll talk to you next week. Life is tough, but you make it harder. You got your own views and you're gonna take them farther. We've been trained to hate one another. Mindless drones, man, you are even farther. Train ourselves for civil war. Fight those we love, but we don't love anymore.